For our scripture reading this evening, we'll first read the text, Ephesians 6, verse 15. Then we're going to go back to Isaiah and read a portion of Isaiah 40, and then Isaiah 53. So we'll start with Ephesians 6 and read the text, and then we'll go back to Isaiah 40, and then Isaiah 53. So the text for this sermon, Ephesians 6, verse 15, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." So with that on our minds as the text for this sermon, let's go back then to the Old Testament, Isaiah 40. Starting at verse 1, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. The voice said, Cry, and he said, What shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. Grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. And then let's jump ahead in this chapter to the 28th verse, Isaiah 40, verse 28. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. And then let's go ahead a few chapters to Isaiah 53. Excuse me, Isaiah 52. Isaiah 52. And we'll read this chapter in its entirety. Awake, awake, put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For henceforth there shall no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Shake thyself from the dust, arise and sit down, O Jerusalem. Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus saith the Lord, ye have sold yourselves for naught, and ye shall be redeemed without money. For thus saith the Lord God, my people went down aforetime into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away for naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord. And my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Depart ye, go ye out from thence, touch no unclean thing. Go ye out of the midst of her, be ye clean, that bear the vessels of the Lord. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rear reward. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations. The kings shall shut their mouths at him, for that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. Thus far we read God's holy and inspired word. May he bless the reading of the scriptures unto your hearts. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been considering the armor that God in grace gives unto you as you walk this earthly pilgrimage. We have considered that God gives unto you a girdle wrapped around your waist, which is the girdle of truth. We saw last week that God gives unto you a breastplate that protects both the front of the chest and as well goes on the backside, which protects you from the fiery darts of the devil. This evening, now we turn our attention down to your feet. What shoes do you have on as you walk this Christian pilgrimage? Let's consider this text this evening under the theme, having your feet shod. First, we'll consider with what. Second, for what benefit do we wear these shoes? And then third, in what way do we wear these shoes? With what, for what benefit, and in what way? Before we can consider these shoes that God gives unto us, we must know something about the role of feet in warfare. Feet are at the base of the body, not a prominently displayed aspect of the body, and yet the head cannot say to the feet, I have no need of you. We perhaps do not spend much time thinking about our feet, except for when we either stumble over a rock or curb on the ground, or if our feet are hurting us, then we spend a lot of time thinking about our feet. Feet, though they're found at the base of the body, are useful and necessary. God gives them unto us so that we might be both stable and mobile. Important for stability, in order to hold up the weight of the human body. Twice in the context of Ephesians 6, verse 15, the Apostle Paul speaks of standing. The end of verse 13, and having done all to stand. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The soldier must be able to stand his ground. He must not give up his position He must not compromise the spot that is his duty to defend. And so God gives unto us feet so that we can stand in a location. But then as well, it is necessary that the soldier use his feet not just to be sedentary, standing fixed with his feet as it were in concrete, but the soldier must be able to use his feet also to move. There's a certain mobility that's required of the soldier. This became evident at the start of World War II with the attack of the Germans, Nazi Germany, into France. France, anticipating before the start of the war that there could be a future attack, built what is called the Maginot Line. It was a heavily fortified line of defense, concrete, bunkers, heavy weapons and artillery that was placed there in order to defend against a future attack from Germany. The Maginot Line was strong. It was stable. Lots of concrete, lots of rebar. The problem, the weakness with that line of defense is it lacked mobility. Nazi Germany quickly understood this and simply sent the Blitzkrieg around the Maginot Line. And so it is the case that stability, lacking mobility, is useless. The soldier must be able both to stand his ground, defend his position, but he also must be able to move about in battle. The soldier must have shoes. These shoes must be able to carry the soldier about on any type of terrain. He has to be able to climb up steep hillsides, even mountains. He must be able to pass through water. He must be able to walk over the hot desert sand. It's necessary that his feet be able to dry out. If his feet stay contained in a wet shoe for too long a period of time, then an infection can set in on the feet. The shoe in Roman times would consist of a leather sole. Sometimes that leather sole would have spikes in the bottom of it that would help the soldier be able to get better traction. And then that leather sole would have straps that would go over the top of the foot and hold that leather sole safely, securely in place. That's the idea of the word shod, to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, as this idea that is wrapped around with, it's securely kept in place. Putting these shoes on the soldier's feet is an act of preparedness. The text tells us we are to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So similar to that armor that we considered earlier, namely the girdle of truth. Just as one would not put the girdle on in the midst of conflict, so with shoes. The laces have to be tied before the battle begins. This is then the spiritually prepared Christian, one who is both stable and mobile. What is the footwear that God gives us then so that you might be such a Christian warrior? According to the text, the footwear that God gives you is the gospel of peace. Now, this seems almost paradoxical to us. There stands a soldier. He's in the midst of conflict. There's war going on. There are arrows flying all around him. He's ready to fight, perhaps even to death. But at the same time, there is peace, the gospel of peace within his heart. He has a peace that passes understanding. The soldier is not anxious as he confronts the enemy. His mind is not preoccupied or racing with thoughts of everything that could go wrong in this warfare, but he stands composed, his feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He has confidence as he stands there to fight against the enemy, for he knows that he is protected. Lacking this gospel of peace, he knows that he would not be protected, but instead be vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. And being vulnerable, his feet, as it were, would be either stuck in the mud so that he could not move, or his feet would be cut upon the sharp rocks. Lacking this gospel of peace, he would be tempted to turn in vain to man for help and for protection. Psalm 33, verses 16 and 17. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. And horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. The confidence of this soldier is not in himself, but his help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. What is this gospel that serves to protect the feet of this warrior? The gospel is good news. The gospel is the good news that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Every soldier, male or female, longs to hear this declaration, the good news that God gives unto them on the front lines of the battle. How important it is to soldiers that they receive steadily this good news, this declaration unto them. They would become demoralized if they did not steadily receive this gospel given unto them. Enemy nations have learned the power of good news, or the lack thereof. And in earlier wars, enemy nations have tried to spread false reports of bad news in order to demoralize the soldiers. The soldiers can hardly swing their feet over the cot in the morning time to stand up and put their armor and prepare their weapons to go into battle if they do not have this good news that motivates, that encourages, and that equips them in the Christian warfare. Behold the tender love of our army general, who sweetly and gently quickens our steps by sharing with us the good news, the gospel of peace. But more specifically, what does God tell us in this report? What is it that encourages us to quicken our steps? Fundamentally, there is one truth that God declares in this gospel of peace. And that one message that God declares unto us in the gospel is this: I am with you. It is a covenantal message that God delivers unto soldiers. You are not alone in fighting this battle, but I am with you always, even to the end. You are mine, for I have redeemed you. I will hold you and protect you as my own. In declaring this gospel of peace, God declares that there is no division between him as the army general and we who are the soldiers upon this earth. There is no separation. We are not alienated from him. He will not abandon us in the midst of heavy conflict. Further, Jehovah declares unto us with this gospel of peace that not only is he with you as an individual, but more broadly, God is with and in the entire church of Jesus Christ as she is visible and as she is instituted upon this earth. It is to and through the church institute that God declares this gospel of peace. It is within the church institute that peace is possible through the unity that we have in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Lacking the Spirit of Jesus Christ, there is no peace within our hearts. Ephesians 2:19 and 20, speaking of the church. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. As well, God declares in this gospel of peace that the victory is yours through Jesus Christ. That's the message that God declares. This is the good news that encourages the soldiers. The outcome of this battle is not uncertain. It does not weigh in the balance, waiting for one to tip the scales one way or another direction. But the conclusion of this battle is already known. It's been known from the beginning. We do not merely long for victory, but we are confident of victory. Victory has already been obtained in principle through the triumph of the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, who crushed the head of the serpent. This is the preparation of the gospel of peace. But how then does this benefit you as a Christian soldier? In the second point now, we return to the two things mentioned earlier. It gives you both stability and it gives unto you mobility. First, it gives unto you stability so that you are steadfast in the Christian faith, and how important this is that we who are God's children be directed upon the old paths and not be easily convinced to leave behind those old paths. We live in a day and age which values that which is novel, that which is new. We live in a world which prioritizes speed and efficiency and immediate gratification, but that does not value the power or value the importance of endurance. We live in a world which has been called a throwaway world, where one uses something for a brief period of time and then immediately discard it and replace it with something novel. And that can have consequences and implications for Christians. Perhaps without realizing it, we can tend to think along those lines, that that which is new in the church, simply by virtue of it being new, must be superior to that which is old. And so it can be that a young Christian joins a church, makes confession of faith in the local church, has lots of enthusiasm and zeal for living as a Christian, but then he hits an obstacle in the Christian walk, and lacking endurance, the enduring power of faith, he immediately is deflated and tempted to give up on the Christian walk. How powerful is the gospel to keep us grounded in the old paths. Isaiah the prophet speaks of the enduring power of God's word. Isaiah 40, verse 7 and 8. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, speaking here of the things of this earth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. The word of God is powerful in that it gives lasting endurance and stability unto God's children. The gospel points us back unto the cross of Jesus Christ, in whom alone is our hope. The gospel doesn't change. The gospel has differing applications from one generation to the next, but the doctrine of the gospel always remains the same. The same gospel that was declared unto Abraham when he was on this earth was also declared unto and through Isaiah the prophet. And then as well, when Paul went forth unto the Gentile nations, he brought that same gospel message. Since the conclusion of the writing of the Holy Scriptures, God has continued to preserve this gospel. Throughout the ancient history of the church, and then as well through the Middle Ages, including the corruption that rose up in the Roman Catholic churches, yet God still preserved the gospel. And then God raised up men like Martin Luther, John Knox, John Calvin, who were used by God again to proclaim beautifully and clearly that gospel message. And until this present day, God has preserved by His grace within the church upon the earth this gospel of peace. That in the first place is the value of the gospel. It provides stability. But secondly, the benefit is this: it gives mobility so that you are able to grow in the Christian faith. The devil attacks not just from one front, comes not simply from one direction, but the devil attacks from many different directions. It seems as though the devil has countless throngs, demons who can go forth and attack us from any angle at any moment in time. And so the faithful Christian then is the one who is aware of the fact that the devil is attacking from many different fronts, and who does not become fixated simply on one particular front, but has the spiritual mobility to acknowledge the devil is attacking us all around, and so we must be alert, we must watch for the return of Jesus Christ. And as we watch for this return of Jesus Christ, we strive to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Frequently, the Heidelberg Catechism uses the language of more and more. Answer 89 in the Catechism, that we may more and more hate and flee from our sins. Answer 115, that we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature and pray to God for the grace of His Holy Spirit, that we may become more and more conformable to the image of God till we arrive at the perfection proposed to us in the life to come. The Christian prays that he would have the ability more and more to be conformed into the image of God. The Christian desires not only stability on the old paths, but he desires as well the ability to grow. Should the Christian become stagnant in the Christian walk, then he becomes vulnerable to the attacks of the devil. The unmoving, immobile Christian is susceptible, even as the Maginot Line proved ineffective to deter Nazi Germany from occupying the French homeland. The gospel of peace gives unto the Christian the necessary ability to defend against the many different attacks and wiles of the devil. The gospel identifies for us where the devil is attacking. The gospel not only shows us where he is attacking, but as well gives unto us the power to resist his devious advances. The gospel has the power to keep you grounded on the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And the gospel has the power to cause you to triumph through Jesus Christ. The gospel points us back unto the cross of Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago. But as well, the gospel points us ahead unto the return of Jesus Christ when he comes in a moment in the twinkling of an eye and establishes his everlasting kingdom. The gospel grants unto us direction on our spiritual journey as we walk by faith and not by sight. The way in which God is pleased, especially to give unto us this gospel message, is through the preaching. That's how God imparts unto us these shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. The preaching. There is authority and there is power that is found in the preaching. The excellency of the preaching is not found of man, but the excellency of preaching is of God. It is not because of the eloquence, the intelligence, the communication abilities of the man, that there is found such power in the preaching of the gospel, but the power of the preached word is found in the one who sends it. Isaiah 40, verse 1, comfort ye, comfort ye, my people, saith the Lord. It is because Jesus Christ, who sits enthroned on high and who has led captivity captive, sends forth the preached word that there is efficacy in that word to protect us from the advances of the devil. Sometimes that power in the preaching can be sensed more than what it can be explained or understood. The Holy Spirit, invisible to our eyes, is at work taking that gospel message and applying that gospel message unto the hearts of God's people. Power in the preached word to convict the sinner of sins. Power in the preaching to comfort the feeble and the distressed. Power to equip God's people for fighting. For your feet, then, to be shod with the gospel of peace, you must hear the preaching. God is the one who sends this preached word forth. God does so even through earthly vessels, earthly instruments. Isaiah 52, verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. That is why, beloved, we encourage one another to come unto God's house, because we understand that there is power in the preaching of the word, and who wants to miss out on that invisible, gracious work of God through his Holy Spirit as he applies the gospel unto the hearts of God's children. That's why the elders oversee the worship services and as well exhort the members of the church to be faithful in coming unto God's house. It is because they have a care for your souls and for your feet, desiring that your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Come unto God's house as you have been. Come and hear his word by faith. It is through faith in Jesus Christ that your feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe that he was delivered for your offenses and raised for your justification? Simply coming to church and sitting under the preached word apart from faith does not give unto you the shoes of the gospel of peace. You understand that the preaching goes forth with power. It is used by God as a two-edged sword. The preaching is not simply an invitation for all generally to believe in the gospel. The preaching is not simply presenting unto you a gift that you, at your discretion, may either accept or reject, but rather the preaching is used by God as a two-edged sword. To the elect, it is a savor of life unto life, and to the reprobate, it is a savor of death unto death. What is your attitude as you come into God's house? Do you come with the humility of faith, believing that God, through the preaching, will equip and nourish your soul? Faith clings to Jesus Christ. Faith receives from Jesus Christ all of the blessings that he has in store for us. By faith, we receive the shoes of the gospel of peace by which our feet are protected from the sharp and jagged rocks, which otherwise would slice through tender flesh. Behold the greatness of our God. Isaiah 52, verse 9. Break forth into joy. Sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem. For the Lord hath comforted his people. He hath redeemed Jerusalem. Isaiah 40, verse 30. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, may we by faith not look merely to the things of this earth for protection and encouragement, but may we look beyond the horizon of this earth to heaven and behold thy Son, Jesus Christ, exalted to the glorious position of power at thy right hand, who gives unto us strength to rise up, to run, to walk. Wilt thou, Father, direct our footsteps in this week on paths of righteousness, for Jesus' sake. Amen.